is my pleasure to present.
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
I don't know why you'd want to, but you can watch us and participate even in the chat if you wish. And not give thumbs up, apparently, because the thumbs up are sorely lacking. It's like we have less thumbs up than people. And once you get in the chat, it should be a thumbs up on the YouTube.
I agree. You know? We should actually implement that mandatory thumbs up if you're going to type in the chat.
Just saying.
No way to enforce it, but.
Go to YouTube, search KHDK, we're right there. Chris says a lot of dumb things in there. That's fine. We love him. But one thing he said earlier I missed, he said I'm drinking out of a kid's cup to make it look like I have bigger hands. Now, this is a standard size disposable coffee cup I bring from home. But Chris, I promise you, there are many things wrong with me. I can promise you I have bigger hands than you. I have mitts, dude. I actually wish I had smaller hands. I wonder if Dr. Pan could do anything about that. Maybe I could get a hand reduction. I don't know. That's not why he's here to talk about it. He's here to talk about everything going on in the world of COVID-19 as we do once a week. New time, new channel. Well, same channel, new time, I should say. Wednesdays at 8:05, and we're happy to move around as much as possible. Dr. Pan has state senator issues. Dr. Pan has doctor and medical stuff to do. And by the way, he's a dad, so we're just happy he can make a little bit of time for us. Good morning, Dr. Pan. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be with you at a new time of the week because of the kids, really.
Totally understandable. We got to do our work, and that's fine. As a fellow dad, I completely understand, and that's why I make my wife do everything because I'm lazy. But you are obviously a better father than I am. We appreciate that, Doc. Things are happening. We talked a little bit about the pause on Johnson & Johnson last week. Let me start with a question from our text that I thought was interesting. Dr. Pan, with stories of fake vaccine cards being on the rise, how can the state of California regulate, or can they, whether citizens who have been vaccinated or for medical reasons can't be vaccinated? How do people vaccinated protect themselves from anti-vaxxers who may be possessing fake vaccine cards?
Well, first of all, at least producing or selling fake vaccine cards is illegal. But unfortunately, there are people out there who are doing it. It's unfortunate this is happening. And so that comes down to if a business or some other entity wants proof of vaccination, you know, what's the best way to actually verify that they're vaccinated? And so unfortunately, if there are a lot of fake cards running around, we have to come up with some alternatives to certifying that someone's been vaccinated. What those are, we don't know yet. When you get your vaccine, they do keep records, so we do know who actually is vaccinated, who isn't.
Let's also talk about breakthrough cases. You're seeing studies now of people that have been vaccinated fully. That have gotten the vaccine, but that are also getting COVID, and it's not one or two; it's quite a few. And I don't mean that percentage wise, but I'm saying it's more than 10 that this is happening with. And Doc, I always want to be so careful. Did I read correctly that there were a few that were hospitalized and also passed away after vaccination? You never know what the information is, but are we seeing that level of seriousness in some of these breakthrough cases?
No, I am not aware of anyone who has passed away after being vaccinated from COVID itself.
Okay.
So what we are seeing is, actually not surprisingly, remember we talked about people who got vaccinated, we don't know if they can transmit the virus.
Yeah.
Right? Actually, the data is coming in showing that actually the vaccines are, at least Moderna and Pfizer are about 90% effective in slowing transmission, which, by the way, keep in mind, we're giving millions of doses of vaccines, right? That would mean approximately 10% of people could actually get the virus and then transmit it. But it's particularly effective in reducing death and severe hospitalizations, like being in the ICU, being intubated. And that's still the case. So the vaccine will protect you when you receive it. It will actually reduce the opportunities of you catching disease and passing it on, but that's still a possibility. It's a probably about 10%, at least with current data, which is why we also encourage people who are vaccinated to continue to wear masks, because in case you do have the virus, and even though you're vaccinated, wearing a mask helps reduce the possibility that you'll transmit that virus to somebody else. That doesn't mean the vaccine didn't work, because after all, you yourself are protected by the vaccine. But there is a chance that you can still catch the virus and pass it to someone else. And those are the so-called breakthrough cases. But that's not surprising, because we already knew that some people who got the vaccine could still potentially pass the virus on. In fact, the vaccine itself reduces that probability by probably around 90%, which is pretty good.
Dr. Richard Pan with us. Doc, I'm on social media, and I know I probably shouldn't be. And social media is a cesspool in many cases of misinformation. I knew we were having you on this week. I took a screenshot mm-hmm. of a Facebook response. Somebody had asked, mm-hmm. "Hey, if I got vaccinated, why do I still need to wear a mask?" And we were having that conversation, which we'll revisit in a second. And I got the mm-hmm. following response, Doc. I'll just read it to you because mm-hmm. it's amazing. Dave, the tests were cranked up to 70 times, and if you ever had the common cold, you could test positive for the coronavirus, just like the common cold. Have you noticed since they brought down the threshold for the test that the cases have dropped dramatically? Thanks, CDC. Never in the history of man have we had a virus that asymptomatic people could pass to another without symptoms. Never. And even though this was designed and perfected in a lab in Wuhan, and your hero Dr. Fauci actually holds a patent on it, and guess who's in bed with Gates on the production of the shots? Yep, Fauci has his finger in that pie, too. P.S. Masks don't do anything other than to stop spittle from going into an open wound or open mouth, which is sometimes why surgeons and dentists wear them. One time and it's in the trash, too. And the best part, Dave, you need to stop spreading misinformation. Now, I'm not going to ask you to tick off. I mean, honestly, I was almost impressed with the amount of goofy QAnon weirdness that was in that whole thing at once. But when people come to you and say, "Doc, I go on Facebook and my cousins and my grandparents and this and that, they spout all this crazy stuff they saw on some YouTube video." What do you say to them? What do you recommend so we can do we even try to engage?
Well, I would on social media, sometimes it's better not to. Well, let's say it's better not to repeat what the person said and just try to put out accurate information and reply. Right.
Right.
We don't want to necessarily amplify misinformation. Sure. By the way, it's interesting because someone says, "Oh, we've never had asymptomatic spread." Actually, a lot of viruses spread asymptomatically.
Right.
For example, let's just take polio. Polio, which, of course, paralyzed and crippled a lot of children during the 50s. And it's interesting because even sometimes some of the people who oppose the vaccines will also mention, well, you know, about 99% of people with polio don't have any symptoms,
right,
which is actually true. The problem is if you're the 1% and you get paralyzed and end up in an iron lung, it's pretty bad. And, of course, that was rightfully really scary to plenty of parents in the 50s until we got the vaccine. And so there's actually a lot of viruses that do spread asymptomatically. The problem is what happens to the people who aren't asymptomatic are symptomatic, and that's same with COVID, right? That's why it's so important we ask people to wear masks so that the people who are asymptomatic and don't know they have the virus, that they're much less likely to transmit it. Because right now we still have, unfortunately, a lot of COVID around. I mean, we still have people dying of COVID. We still have people ending up in the hospital with COVID. We have hot spots in this country in various states like Michigan, Texas, Pennsylvania, some other states. We're here, fortunately, in California, where cases are at least leveling off, if not slowly drifting down. But, you know, we're part of the rest of the country, too. So we hope that some of those variants don't work their way over here. So far, knock on wood, it's been a week and a half since spring break, and we haven't seen a big uptick yet here in our state. So hopefully that meant that we didn't have a lot of people traveling around bringing variants to California. So, but we, you know, we might not actually see that spike for another week or so. So, you know, crossing our fingers, so far it looks good. But that's because people are trying to do the right thing. They're getting vaccinated. They're wearing their masks. They're not trying to mix households with people as much, unless they're not if they're not vaccinated. I mean, those are types of things we try to do to keep the virus from spreading. But hopefully we can get through this and we get enough people vaccinated and we can go back to Kings games and, you know, eat at restaurants and, of course, kids going to school and so forth. So let's all work together and make that happen.
Dr. Richard Pan joining us. You know, while we were just talking, another text came in. So many people have real-world anecdotes about things from this one here in the 916. My dad is afraid the government is going to track him if he gets the shot. I'm trying to convince him no one cares what he's doing, first of all. And secondly, if they did, they can track his phone far easier than implanting him with some tiny microchip. He still refuses to get the shot. So, in this case, I always wonder, Doc, is it better to try, and this is with a family member, not just some rando on Twitter, do you try to help them with, on one side, do you try to help them dispel that misinformation with information, or do you go the other route, which is, hey, listen, let's just assume for a second that you're right about these microchips, which you're not, your phone, this, that, all this other stuff, cameras, like you're already, if the government wanted to track you, you'd be being tracked. I'm always wondering which road to go down.
Well, I think that you want to listen and find out what they're most concerned about. So in this case, they're concerned about microchips, which you certainly can point out is incorrect. But sometimes the most compelling thing to tell, particularly your friends and family, is that I myself looked at the information. I talked to my doctor, if you did, and I chose to get vaccinated. And so that's what I decided to do. And actually, if other family and friends go and tell them too, that's oftentimes more convincing than anything else. So, I mean, certainly if they say, well, my main concern is, you know, microchips, well, go, why don't you go ask your doctor about that, right? And so have them go to a trusted source. Right. So why don't you ask your doctor about that? I've seen that that probably isn't true. And I've decided to get vaccinated because I want to keep myself safe. And that's so having those kind of conversations, you don't need to get into a big back and forth. I think you just state what you think is why you got yourself vaccinated is perhaps the more important thing to talk about. And so that they know that you got vaccinated and encourage them to seek a trusted source for further questions that they have.
Last thing for you, Dr. Pan, when you look at, well, let me just say it. Close friend of mine tested positive for COVID-19 the day before yesterday. And his question was, well, what if I go out and get the vaccination now? Could that possibly help in my recovery? So that's the first part. And the second part I'd like you to address is, We're talking a lot about vaccinations. Are we making progress as well on treatment?
Yeah. So first of all, interesting. So if you're actively infected with COVID, I believe we're not giving the vaccine to people who are actively infected. So in other words, if you're recently diagnosed, wait until you recover. If you've had COVID, we recommend you get the vaccine. So you're recovered, we recommend you get the vaccine. It's actually, it seems that some people have persistent symptoms. We call the long haulers. So, in fact, about 10% of people who've had COVID are long haulers. So death is not the only thing that happens with COVID. And when they get the vaccine, it seems like they actually have improvement of their symptoms, their long-haul symptoms. So it seems like the vaccine actually helps out with persistent symptoms related to COVID. So that's another good thing about getting the vaccine. And then, actually, the second part of the question you asked, sorry, remind me.
That was just, where are we at with, are we making any progress as far as
treatment?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people are, of course, still studying treatments. The challenge is what we have now, for example, those antibodies, you have to give early on in the infection. So you have to catch people early and give it to them early, and it requires an infusion. It does seem to have some benefit. So but we're still working on treatments. But as I said, the treatment that we have requires early detection and treatment.
Gotcha. Dr. Richard Pan joins us each and every week at 8:05. Oh, I'll sneak one more question in before you go, because I think this is important. My guy MC in the chat room wants to know, where can I or can I volunteer? Can people volunteer when it comes to whether it's distribution of the vaccination or volunteering at the sites?
Certainly there are opportunities to volunteer for helping out at vaccination sites. Actually, I think the state does have a page for that, and if you're in various counties, do too. So you can certainly contact, see if there's something on the county public health department. They have something there. There's a volunteer department at the state. Sorry, I don't have the website on top of my top of my head here.
Sure.
As well, you can, and then different organizations have organized vaccination sites. So. You can ask about whether they need help there as well. And so there are opportunities for people to volunteer, and really appreciate all the people who have volunteered.
Yes.
That's how we're getting so many people vaccinated, because so many people have devoted their time and effort to get vaccines out to people. And I should also point out, though, as we're moving into the future, you know, right now there's a lot of mass vaccination sites and so forth. We're kind of coming toward the end. We're not there yet of essentially reaching all the people who want the vaccine in terms of getting the vaccine. So we still have to work through that, but we're going to start moving to the getting to the phase where it's about getting the vaccines to people who may have more questions, or people who they'll get the vaccine, but you have to get it to them. They have challenges showing up to a vaccination site, whether it's transportation, they're working too many jobs, they're homebound because of various factors, and so they're whether they will need different kind of volunteers to help out with that, we'll see.
You got it. Absolutely. Listen to those words, and you can check him out on the website, Dr. Richard Pan, drrichardpan.com. Also follow him on Twitter as well, and I'll look for that that website for the volunteering and get that out there as well. Doc, we appreciate you as always. Thank you so much, and good luck getting those kids to school. We'll talk to you in a week.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. That is Dr. Richard Pan joining us, and as always, you can get your questions in 916-339-1140.
This one from the YouTube chat.
Yeah.
And you should have got to this. This was actually a really good question. I'm a little disappointed you
missed it. I honestly can't. I try to see them all, but I can't.
Yeah, well, you missed probably the most important one.
Uh-huh.
I've been infected with King's 19. I'm a long hauler. I hope there's a vaccine soon.
Well,
we got about 3 minutes here. Do you want to get to my little project? Because
I would love to. Earlier today, Jay and I were talking about draft position and tanking and all that, and decided to provide some numbers, basic numbers. This is an unofficial study. The last 20 years of drafts and where the best player in that draft, which is subject to opinion, but in most cases is fairly clear cut, where that player went in the draft.
So I got the last 20 years. I picked the best player from each draft, in my opinion, and I asked your help on a couple of these. What do you think the average pick is before I let you in on the...
So, again, if we take, let's say, the best player in 2012 was picked ninth. And
they were picked first.
And the best player in 2015 was picked ninth. And then the average pick position for those years would be nine for the best player in the draft. I'm going to say, and there's a decimal point on here, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say 3.3.
Okay. I'm going to run through this list.
Sure.
2000.
Uh-huh.
We picked Jamal Crawford at number 8.
Okay.
Kenyon Martin and Michael Redd were the other ones considered. I think Crawford had overall better career.
Sure.
2001, Pau Gasol at number 3.
Okay.
02, Amari Stoudemire at number 9. We decided that against Yao Ming at number 1. Yao having a great argument, though.
Right.
2003, LeBron James, number 1. 2004, Dwight Howard,
number one.
2005, Chris Paul,
number four.
Oh,
that's right.
2006, LaMarcus Aldridge, number 2. 2007, Kevin Durant, number 2. 2008, Russ Westbrook, number 4. 2009,
uh-huh.
Steph Curry, number 7.
Uh-huh.
2010, Paul George, number 10.
Mm.
2011, Kawhi Leonard, number 15, although there's obviously an argument
Paul George ahead of DeMarcus Cousins, by the way.
Okay. Yes. And Leonard, number 15, I do have him ahead of Kyrie Irving. If you were to start a fight, I would want
Kawhi. I agree with that. I think most people would.
2012, I have Anthony Davis at number one.
Yep.
2013, Giannis at number 15.
Okay.
2014, Jokic at number 41.
41.
2015, Cat at number one.
Yep.
Booker at, I think, 9 or 13. It was one of those two numbers. Yep. There was an argument there. 2016, I have Simmons at number one.
Uh-huh.
17, Tatum at number three.
Okay.
Doncic in 2018 at number three. And Zion, number one in 2019.
So it's actually lower than 3.3.
No, it is not.
It's not?
No.
What's the average?
6.6.
That's, yeah, lower. I'm sorry. I meant lower on the, lower, higher number, lower. Yes, yeah, 6. So the
where do you round 6.6 up to?
That's the number 7. Yeah. Here we go. Number 7.
Here we 7.
I would, I think that I would and the rest of the Kings audience would appreciate it if you crafted that, and I will happily retweet it into a tweet so that we can share that. I think that's a lot of research that should be heard by more than the 12 people that listen to this show.
There's 13.
My apologies. By the way, MVP of the chat today, MC.
MC overall MVP of the chat.
Oh, wow. Shade at Christie.
No, it's not Shade at Christie. It's not Shade at Christie at all.
Is it that MC's there more?
Yeah.
Because quality versus quantity, I think Christie has the highest ratio.
They're kind of Jordan and Pippen-esque in that sense.
Well,
you
then
know?
If they're Jordan and Pippen, then who's Chris, who is easily the most active?
Rodman. I mean, come on. You walked right into that.
He is kind of Dennis Rodman in the chat, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
They're having a great conversation about banh mi sandwiches, which, weirdly enough, I had one Saturday. The banh mi sandwich is a phenomenal sandwich. Shouldn't even be called a sandwich. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice. Coming up next.
Also, from the same neck of the woods, pho is a wonderful, I guess you could call it a soup. It's not pho, it's pho, and it is fantastic. I need me some pho. Once in a Blue Moon with Jay Mars, I have a bonus stat, which I guarantee you he does not have, but his will be better.
Mine's an on this day, so
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. No, mine is a crazy thing that happened in sports yesterday. News with Ed Crane as well. We're right back.
When management finally gets tired and just gives up, the Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Good morning. Are you DJing?
I'm messing with a fader just to throw people off.
That's got to be fun for everybody. It's Jay Mars. He's the assistant program director of KHDK. One great thing about that job, is there a way, do you have a preferred way for people if they have questions to contact you?
Nope, just don't.
Okay. So I was going to say, the great thing about an APD, as we call it in the business, that's where you send all your complaints.
I do have a voicemail set up. Let me find your number real quick.
No, that's okay. I don't want to do that. I don't want to promote people giving us feedback. Unless it's good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, you know,
we're all
voicemail.
For positive propaganda for the
right,
show.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of feedback. Sorry.
Oh.
I was watching a TikTok during the break.
Like we said, he...
That's what I do.
He discovered Billie Eilish. He has a TikTok account. He's one of the cool kids.
I am. I really...
And
I,
if he could fly, his name would be Plain Michael Dave.
Wow. Look at you. Look at you coming with the humor. Would it be a good idea for the show to set up a voicemail?
Hmm.
I mean, we could filter what gets on, obviously.
Yeah, that means nothing would ever get on.
Okay. Like, I wonder how easy it is for us to get a voicemail here.
I don't think it's hard.
Do they have...
Seriously.
So they've got...
It's not.
Numbers line. I think we should get a voicemail.
Okay.
People can leave messages, good, bad, and different.
Okay.
Figure out a way in advance to block Chris's number.
Good luck with that.
He'll just call that thing randomly at 2 in the morning.
Just 2 in the morning?
Well, whatever.
It'll be 3:37 in the afternoon. He'll be out in his garden doing garden stuff.
What do you guys think in the YouTube chat? You can also text us at 916-339-1140. Should we have a voicemail for the show, and B, should we play some of those voicemails on the air? Yeah, maybe once a week, if there's content.
Oh, there'll be content. Arable content is a completely different thing.
Earlier in the show, one of the other questions, our poll question of the day, let's put it out about an hour ago, a little over 800 votes in. You get to build a team for the next 10 years around a healthy Luka or a healthy Zion. We want to take an injury thing out of the equation. Which do you pick? Do you have a guess, Jay?
You have a lot of Kings fans, and they're not over the Luka thing. I'll say they are 57% Luka, 43% Zion.
Idiot. Actually, for real idiot this time.
Okay.
I mean, you got it right. I can't even remember the last time you got one wrong. You always get them right. 74%
wow.
would take Luka Doncic. 74% to 26% for Zion. I got to think more about that. Luka can do a lot more than Zion. Overall. Like, I don't think Zion's ever going to be a defensive stopper. Not that Luka is either, by the way. You can't run the offense through Zion. He's not a distributor. But I also think that Zion may be just a better scorer rebounder. But the important thing is that I got to look at him. I'll bet you Zion's usage compared to Luka's usage is way lower.
What's easier? Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Pairing a star big with Luka or pairing a really good point guard with Zion?
I think pairing a really good point guard with Zion.
It's easier, right? That's why you build around Zion over Luka.
Now, I don't know. I truly don't know. I should show my receipts. But I do think, wouldn't you say that Luka Doncic's usage rate has to be significantly higher than Zion
yes.
Williamson's? I mean,
it's not one of the highest in the league.
It might be the highest in the league. And Zion's, I think, the efficiency has got to be off the charts. I'm bringing it up right now. Usage rate. Looky. For their careers, Luka's usage rate is 34.2%, but Zion's is 30.2%. I'm surprised. I'm legitimately surprised. Right?
Yeah, I would have thought Luka's would have been actually higher. Well, I mean, it is higher. I thought it would have just been significantly higher, to your point.
Now, just for the heck of it, and Zion's just in his second year, and he missed a good portion of last year. But let's just look and see if that's changed if we just go this year to this year with the two of them. Usage rate, 36% for Luka, 30% for Zion. So Luka's is bigger, but Zion's is significant. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Win shares per 48, 20.21 to 0.17, Zion over Luka. Luka actually has 9/10 higher of a defensive win share than Luka. This is where stats go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, again, Zion's the end-all be-all, but 2.0 to 1.1 defensive win shares.
I also think Zion could, if he really wanted to, develop into a good defender. I don't think Luka can.
I will say this much. I think over the course of their careers, again, provided they're both healthy over the next 10 years in this example, I think the highlight reel of Zion Williamson monster blocks will dwarf Luka's.
Yeah.
You just know we're going to see a few basketballs in the fourth row in Zion's career after he rejects it. All right, once in a blue moon right now.
Once in a blue moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
On this day,
35
years ago, 1986, Michael Jordan, you may have heard of him.
I have.
Scores an NBA playoff record 63 points in the Boston Garden.
That's the Celtics.
In game two of the Bulls' first round series against, that's right, the Celtics. They played in the Boston Garden.
I don't know if they played in the Garden.
However, Boston ended up winning the game, sweeping the series, and went on to win the NBA title against the Twin Towers Houston Rockets.
I remember watching that game live.
You're old.
I was very, very young. No. It's one of my earliest basketball memories that I truly can hold on to. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some Kings stuff in there, obviously, but I want to say two, and I could be wrong here.
It's also the first year of the Kings.
That's
probably why that time period sticks out so much.
I think in that game, because it's so funny the things you remember as a little kid. One of the first memories I had that I noticed of Michael Jordan, other than, oh my God, who is this amazing guy, was I think he was wearing the long necklace.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he was wearing the necklaces? That was really when Michael Jordan popped onto my radar as a little kid fan. And I am old enough to remember the narrative by many. Michael Jordan, amazing scorer. Michael Jordan cannot lead a team to a championship.
Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, the James Harden before James Harden, in that sense. Michael overcame that.
Please don't ever say Michael Jordan in the same sentence as James Harden. James Harden is no Michael Jordan.
No, James Harden has the same, not stigma, but the same idea. James Harden can't lead to a title, except Michael figured it out. James Harden, probably not.
As we take a break, I promised you one stat. This is a hockey stat.
Yay!
Stop the presses.
Yay, hockey!
Big enough stat, I thought it'd be fun. The Pittsburgh Penguins are the first team in NHL history to win a game in which they were outscored by 5 goals in the third period. 5 goals in the third period. Entering last night, NHL teams were 0-270 and 0 in the regular season and 0-9 in the postseason when they were outscored by 5 goals in the third period.
They're right.
That's a pretty crazy stat.
I agree.
And
yay, hockey.
And and you got to think, too, by the way, you got to think that some of those 5 goals, those always come by the winning teams because, you know, empty nets and stuff. Well, there's no empty nets in this case. You know what? There's no empty nets. Just like there's never any empty lots when you go visit my friends at Hobler. Never. Such an amazing selection up at Hoblet. That's why we talk about them. Hoblet Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Truck Month has been extended. Hey, what kind of savings we expect from Hoblet, you might ask? Well, I'll tell you. Two ways to save with up to $7,000 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 1500 crew cabs, 0% financing for 72 months. You might ask about heavy duties. That's your answer. Up to $4,000 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 2500 and 3500 heavy duties. And they negotiated their own interest rate for Hoblet customers. 2.49% financing for 84 months. You ever heard of a dealership going out negotiating a better interest rate for their own customers? Yeah, me neither. That's the kind of service you can expect at a Hoblet Dodge Chrysler Jeep and Ram. See for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go up to the Hoblet Ram Truck Center, search, select, and save with their online shopping option at HobletDodge.com. Best prices, best selection, period.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, we'll wrap up the show. We got a What's on Tap for tonight. Hey, what do you know? There's a Kings game. We'll preview tonight. Kings, Timberwolves. I'll be there with bells on. Not really. I will be there, though. And crossover. I think with Jason. Oh, we do have one. Jason and Doug, we'll do that next.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Uh-huh.
It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap. Brought to you by
Prince.
Prince. Hey, thank you for that. 5 years ago today, the great Prince Rogers Nelson passed away, robbing the world. Not just musical world, the world of his
brilliance,
unmatched brilliance. There was a scene many of you have seen, and I'm happy to donate some time to this, even though we were a sports station. I have no problems being a music station for a minute. This was at a benefit. It was Prince, George Harrison's son, Tom Petty. Couple other guys on stage, and when I say a couple other guys, I know I'm missing at least one huge one. Was it Jeff Beck? Who was it? Damn it. Someone text me, and you know the clip I'm playing. They were riffing while my guitar gently weeps, and at the end, and Prince would just do the solo fills, and it was just insane.
Still
watched this clip a million times, and it is 100 billion times better watching than listening, and it's fun to listen to because you see Prince and his showmanship, which was unmatched. And he's wearing this red kind of fedora and this cool outfit with a red collared shirt underneath, which almost gave him, because he's one of those guys like many guitar players that make faces.
Mm-hmm.
He always had this kind of devilish grin, and the red kind of adds to the whole devilish look. But the best part is watching Tom Petty react to Prince. And Tom Petty is the late, great Tom Petty, another one who we lost. Is a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, the period and a statement. And he's looking at Prince much like a really good athlete watches mm-hmm. an all-time pantheon athlete and just goes, reminded me almost of Magic Johnson when he talked about the Olympic scrimmages when Michael Jordan was coming up, where you just kind of look at them and go, yeah, he's the king. Like, I'm great.
Bow down.
But bow down. Prince's showmanship, Prince's grace, his trend setting. Watch the clip. While my just go to YouTube. While My Guitar Gently Weeps, Prince. You'll find it and have fun with that. What's on tap? Yes, brought to you by the great Prince. We also just have to do a little scheduling as well. What's on tap? We have basketball again. And yeah, as confusing as it was to my kids. Because we're going to the game tonight, and then when they knew we were playing Minnesota, and when they saw my daughter, God bless her, we sit down, she comes downstairs, she's doing homework, and she sees the Kings in Minnesota had just started, and mm-hmm. she goes, "Oh, did we miss it? Why aren't we going? I thought we were going, Daddy. I had my little outfit and everything." I said, "Well, they're playing them twice in a row, two nights in a row, same team." Yeah, she goes, "That never happens," and I go,
"Neither did COVID."
Yeah, neither did COVID.
You know, I got to look. Are there still tickets available?
Yeah.
It you work for the Kings ticket says tickets office.
I do. Tickets as low as $36, it says. Go to kings.com to get your tickets. Kings Wolves.
The reason why I'm saying, my son has been dying to go to a basketball game.
Well, there you go. You have an opportunity. And please make sure you read the guidelines and all that, too, because it's not just get your ticket and go. There's mm-hmm. a lot of other stuff that happens, but they're doing everything they can to make it as comfortable as possible. The thing that's going to be toughest for me, I mean, really tough. This might be the first time I've ever been to a sporting event ever where I cannot eat at my seat.
This could be a good trend for you. I'll leave it at that.
It's not. Kings favored by 5 tonight.
Why?
Dude, they were favored by 4 yesterday and got trounced towards the end. Pre-game coverage right here, 5:30. Tip-off at 7:30. One more note we should put out there as well. The Giants and Phillies morning baseball, 10:05. Giants looking for yet another victory over Philadelphia. And those streaky A's are, oh, noon baseball, 12:37.
Yeah, baby,
A's
right here.
Twins, right here on the Sporty 1140.
Coverage, I believe coverage begins at noon.
Okay, Frankie Montas on the hill. And we have a crossover for you right now with Jason and Doug.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Okay, guys, we're looking at today's crossover being lead positions. I'm going to give you 4 choices. You tell me which of these professions you would want the most for you, Dave, for you, Jay. A political leader. Yeah. So that's, you know, governor, president. Would you want that position?
Thanks for clarifying.
A head coach, any sport. So whatever you choose there. A lead singer in a rock group or a headline actor. So kind of these lead positions, which of the 4 would you want them? Or maybe rank them. Political leader, head coach, lead singer, headline, actor.
I got mine.
I do too. Go ahead.
NBA head coach number 1. Mm-hmm. Rock star number 2.
Uh-huh.
Lead actor number 3.
Uh-huh.
And then politician number 4,987.
That's funny because your list and my list are almost exactly the same.
Really?
No.
No.
They're almost exactly the opposite. Number 4, lead singer. I'm not trying to be morbid here, but we actually, weirdly enough, just had this conversation. Something happens way too often
mm-hmm.
when you're successful in music.
You die.
You die. And or you go crazy, or you, the amount of pressures, the amount of, sustained high blood pressure and God knows what else that has taken so many, whether it is a Kurt Cobain, a Chris Cornell, a Prince, a Michael Jackson, an Amy Winehouse, a Jim Morrison. Like, this isn't just a coincidence. That world is so, such a goldfish bowl, such a fishbowl, such a pressure cooker. I feel so terrible for all of that that we've lost in that world and their families. I look at that and I go, you know what? The whole thing that we see making videos and all the girls and the fun and this and that, that's awesome. But if it happened to them, it would I don't think long term I would be happy. So number four. Number three, a head coach. That'd be fun. Yeah. What else do you need to say about that? Number two, an actor, because I think that you can, if you do it right, you can be a successful actor and you can also detach. Like George Clooney lives in Lake Como, Italy, and he comes in and shoots something. Daniel Day-Lewis lives on a, he truly one time worked as a, I think it was a shoe, a shoer or a shoemaker in the English countryside. And then he just flies in from wherever and method acts and wins an Oscar.
Are we just going to forget the most obvious guy that can go live whenever, anywhere he wants?
Tom Hanks?
Eddie Murphy.
Oh, Eddie Murphy.
Sacramento.
Right. Sacramento. Number one, my number one would be your number four.
God.
I would want to be, if I had to choose between the four, I'd want to be a political leader for the silliest yet most truthful reason I could give. I think I could make the biggest difference.
Really?
I think that would give me the opportunity to make the biggest positive impact.
How far are we going in political leadership?
I mean, he mentioned president, for example, but whatever. So we'll take the extreme one. Now, I'm not naive. I understand that in this day and age, that ain't happening. But I do think that I could, at the end of my life, look back and say I affected the most positive change through legislation, through pushing things, through blah, blah, et cetera, being a political leader.
Way too much. Way too much. West Wing has infiltrated.
You're right. You are correct.
I could be Jed Bartlett. No, you can't. That's why it's a TV show.
I wish.
Like, the West Wing just shows, like, how things should run to a degree.
The West Wing is...
It don't run like that.
The West Wing is such a utopian look at government. Mm-hmm. That people actually like the thing. The thing right now with West Wing, if you read anything about West Wing written over the last 3 years, 95% of it is mad at the West Wing for giving us an unrealistic view of government.
Jed Bartlett does the right thing, gets rid of his VP, and then brings in the Republican Speaker of the House to take over. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, John Goodman ain't coming through that door in real life. That's not happen. President Walken ain't coming through that door. All right. Crossover question for you, Jason, and for you, Doug. We will, as we often do, we'll just rob a question that we asked today as our poll question. But I'm really looking forward to both of your opinions on this. And if you want to go around the room, hey, why not? I want to take out all the other factors. So let's just assume they're healthy over the next 10 years. Let's assume they make the same amount of money over the next 10 years. If you're building an NBA team, who would you rather build that NBA team around? Luka Doncic or Zion Williamson? Have a good show, fellas. All right. Sam Amick will join us tomorrow at 8:05. Our thanks to Dr. Richard Pan. Our thanks to Jay Mars. I'm Carmichael Dave. Jim Rome is next. Go Kings. Bye-bye now.